Hi, this is Nicholas Kapman with the FDA group with our first in a new video series we're calling the Life Science Rundown. I've got some notes in front of me, so I apologize if you see my eyes bouncing around. But these are going to be short value-packed videos that quickly boil down to what's happening in our industry along with advice and guidance to help you stay compliant and competitive. So to kick this off, I wanted to talk a little bit about FDA's new guidance on drug and biologic inspections during the pandemic because there's some important points to it. As many of you probably know, back in March, FDA announced that it would be temporarily halting most inspections due to the pandemic. Regulators said that they would be evaluating mission-critical inspections case by case. Then in July, the agency announced it was working toward resuming prioritized domestic inspections where safe to do so. This new guidance that was released on August 19th answers questions about FDA's current thinking on prioritized and mission-critical inspections. It also presents some steps for ensuring safety during the inspections. I'm going to quickly run through some of the takeaways and then offer some thoughts on next steps. So first off, foreign pre-approval and for-cause inspection assignments that are not deemed mission critical will remain temporarily postponed for the time being. So what does mission critical mean? Well, they offer a few criteria that applies to both domestic and foreign inspection facilities. The first is whether the products have received breakthrough therapy designation or regenerative medicine advanced therapy designation. The second is if they're products used to diagnose, treat, or prevent a serious disease or medical condition for which there is no other appropriate substitute. So if you fall into either of those mission critical designations, it's really important to be prepared for an inspection. Another big point from this guidance is that FDA is going to continue using what it calls non-inspectional tools and approaches to evaluate site compliance. These include looking at existing inspection reports from other regulatory agencies, requesting information from applicants, and requesting records directly from facilities. So again, if you have inspection reports that are less than stellar, or if you're not completely confident in the records that you might be asked for, it's really important to take the opportunity right now to lean on a third-party expert who can take a closer look, highlight any gaps, and make sure you get them closed before they turn into what could really become an expensive compliance problem. Okay, the third big point from this guidance is about pre-approval inspections for companies with pending applications. The big takeaway is that sponsors will not automatically receive a complete response letter if FDA can't get in for an inspection. Instead, they say decisions will be based on the totality of the information available. Also, if you're looking to file changes to an approved application, FDA says it will be willing to consider requests from applicants to submit certain changes based on two things: a documented rationale for the change and risk mitigation information for drug applications or BLAs related to treatment or prevention of COVID-19, or drugs or biologics that are currently experiencing a shortage. So there's much more contained in this guidance, but I wanted to call out those because if this news is relevant to you, you may want to take some steps to get prepared. As all of this continues to evolve, we'll be monitoring FDA's inspection programs and the agency's response in general to get the important information to you. In addition to what I've covered here, we also have a write-up on the key takeaways you can find on our blog at thefdagroup.com, where you can learn more about our services and connect with us. If you think you'll continue to find these updates valuable, please share this with your own network, follow the FDA group on LinkedIn if you haven't already, and always feel free to connect with me personally here on LinkedIn. Thank you all very much, and stay safe.